Our scripture reading this morning, again, is from the Gospel according to Mark. We're going to jump up to chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. And I invite you to listen for words that speak to you. It's not unfamiliar. Words that you think are important for our church, for our world, and perhaps share those in a moment. You do have sermon notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along and have a little guide to the sermon. But reading from chapter 10 of Mark, verses 35 through 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, the other disciples, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." May God bless our hearing and receiving these holy words. Now, surely something spoke to some of you, some powerful words in this message today. Any thoughts? I have some. Yes, Pam. Are you able to drink the cup? Yeah. That. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Interesting. The Son of God, the Son of Man. Liam. Gave his life as a ransom for many. Yeah. "We are able," they replied. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, during the American Revolutionary War, a company of soldiers under the command of a captain was building a fort out of a pile of heavy logs. While wrestling with the log, which was to form the capstone and was really too heavy for the men to handle, the captain kept yelling at his men, "Heave it up!" While he himself stood by with his hands on his hips. Suddenly, a stranger in everyday clothing rode up on horseback, and seeing the soldiers sweating and struggling with the log, he stopped and asked the captain why he was not helping his men. "I am an officer," was the reply. With that, the stranger leapt off his horse, took off his coat, and helped the men put the heavy log in place. Then, as he was about to ride away, he said to the captain, Next time you need help, just call on me. My name is George Washington, and I am Commander-in-Chief of the United States Army. Boy, that captain must have been embarrassed. Or maybe not. He was an officer. He might have been embarrassed for his commander-in-chief, who did not know his rightful place. We know that Peter, Jesus' disciple, felt that way when Jesus told him that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. I don't know if Peter felt embarrassed for Jesus, but he certainly felt that Jesus was confused about his rightful place as Messiah. And Peter ought to know. He was the first one to recognize that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. But Peter apparently thought that Jesus just didn't seem to understand what that meant to be Messiah. And just a short time later in our scripture today, James and John, the other two disciples who with Peter made up the inner circle, Jesus' closest disciples and friends on earth, and approached Jesus with a proposition. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And Jesus said, what is it you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Now, stage right or stage, I don't know which one's which for you, but you get the point. Now, a lot of commentators feel that James and John, like Peter, just didn't understand what Jesus expected of those who would be leaders in God's kingdom. But I want to suggest this morning that maybe they did. I want to suggest that maybe they really did get it, and they thought they were ready to step into a leadership position. They said they were. We are able. In the verses before today's scripture, Jesus had repeated his words to Peter, reminding all the disciples what the Messiah's true role would be: to be arrested by the religious leaders, condemned to death, tortured, and then killed by the Romans, and then rise again in 3 days. Maybe James and John truly understood what Jesus was saying. Maybe they felt ready. Like the child Jesus had just talked about, ready to receive the kingdom without question, to believe with all his or her heart. They had heard Jesus tell the rich young ruler to give away everything, then come, follow me. They had heard Jesus talk about the first being last, about leaving house and brothers and sisters, mother and father, children and property. Maybe they felt ready to stand with Jesus on either side, right or left, and face whatever came with Jesus. Maybe they felt ready to face arrest, torture, and death with Jesus. Maybe they weren't even fighting for position with Jesus. Maybe they were offering themselves and maybe even their lives. We certainly need people to offer themselves to Jesus as pastors, elders, board chairpersons, ministry leaders, and of course, volunteers and participants. Jesus seemed to be willing to consider their offer. He asked them if they were sure, are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they replied, we are able. Then Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Jesus was predicting their future, the deaths they would suffer, because they would indeed stand with Jesus eventually, after they had abandoned Jesus with the rest of the disciples, abandoned Jesus on the cross. The other disciples, however, they didn't get it. They saw James and John's offer as a thinly veiled grab for power. Just like today, standing next to a king or any powerful person was the position of power, the position where your opinion was heard, where opportunities were directed your way. We see it today. It pays to be best friends with a banker, your boss, a senator, a king, with the Messiah, so they thought. So your opinion, how many think that James and John were trying to make a grab for power? I'm wishy-washy. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? You answered that question on the day you were baptized. Jordan answered it this morning. But the question I want to ask today is, did you answer like James and John, giving them the benefit of the doubt? You see, our baptism tradition as disciples of Christ is not really a baptism into the membership of the church. It's not a baptism into just belonging, into being accepted, though these things do come along too. It is certainly not a baptism into power and prestige, though that has been the case at times in the past, when people did join churches to appear respectable, to connect with the rich and powerful, to feel important, to belong to the right church. There have been folks who have strived to be close to the Messiah or whatever person of power or influence stood in that role, a pastor, a board moderator, trustee, elder. But I think any of us in those positions at this church today would laugh at the idea that we have much power or influence or special respect due to our positions, certainly not outside of the front door of the church. But that wasn't what Jesus was asking anyway in Mark's gospel. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Jesus was asking if you're willing to be a servant or even a slave to everyone else. Jesus was asking if you're willing to not be served, but to serve. Jesus was asking if you're willing to follow Jesus, give your life a ransom for many. Are you willing to stand with Jesus on his left or right on his mission to scandalize the religious establishment, to live in God's kingdom by kingdom priorities with kingdom authority, to serve, no, to be a slave to even the least respectable, the least powerful, the least beautiful, the least popular? Are you willing to die for those who hate you? Or worse, those who don't even care about you or acknowledge you, those who actively dominate and repress you or others? Are you willing today to even inconvenience yourself? Not many are. Are you willing to vote for the good of those people you may never meet or understand or even like, rather than just your own comfort or bank account or even your own family. Our baptism symbolizes our willingness to die to everything that this world holds valuable. Our willingness to hang with Jesus on the cross, to suffer for God's kingdom, for God's people. That's what happens when you willingly let a pastor push you under the water. You did feel me push, right? You have to die. You have to be baptized with Jesus' baptism. And that's not what John the Baptist did to him in the Jordan, but what Jesus willingly did on the cross for you. If you are willing to stand at Jesus' right or left in his baptism, in his death on the cross, then you can also stand with Jesus in the kingdom of God. If you stand at Jesus' right or left in baptism, then you won't care whether you are on his immediate right or left. Only God gives the glory in God's kingdom. You'll just want to be with Jesus, doing what he is doing, serving God and serving God's people and all of creation. You won't care about royalty or respect or honor. You might not even care about all that hope, joy, and peace beyond your furthest dreams. You might not even care about eternal life or God's blessings or God's richest rewards for yourself. You will only care about being with God, with Jesus, servant, no, slave to all. When you die to yourself, when you give it all away, that is when you will find life, eternal life, and joy and hope and peace and love in your life today. By dying in Jesus' baptism, you will find life even today. You see, the secret of God's kingdom, the scandal of God's kingdom, the secret of life and eternal life, the secret of standing at Jesus' right or left in glory is dying to anything and everything that holds you back from giving everything to God. So this morning, remember your baptism, and tomorrow, and every day. Remember your baptism and stand in the right place with Jesus in his baptism on the cross. Take home question: how might God be asking you to serve or be a slave in 2026? And how can First Christian Church do the same for our community and our world? Will you pray with me? Holy God, we again give you thanks. The beauty all around us, the beauty of those right here among us, the beauty of this church, the beauty of the good news of your kingdom that you offer to us, the beauty of a baptism ceremony that just symbolizes so much hope and joy. We're grateful, oh God, that you have called each of us to be part of your church, to be servants with Jesus, to be slaves when called upon, to serve rather than to be served, to love all just as Jesus did, reaching into the darkest, furthest, most outcast corners to find those to love. We thank you. And we pray in Jesus' name as we follow him through our prayers and our lives. Amen.